Welcome to Talking New Energy, a podcast from Delta EE, the new energy experts. We'll be talking about how the energy transition is developing across Europe, with guests who are working at the leading edge of this transition.
Welcome to this week's episode of Talking New Energy. Regular listeners will note a change in host and recognise me, Charmaine Coutinho, as a Delta EE guest from other podcasts. John is on holiday, so I'm very pleased to be hosting the podcast today. Full service with John will resume in a few weeks' time, and maybe he'll even tell you a little bit about his holiday. In this episode, we're looking at energy insights around consumption. The emergence of new technologies, such as smart meters, etc., is generating a huge amount of data around customers' energy consumptions in the home. In many markets, a new part of the energy industry is emerging for residential customers, companies with the capability to capture, analyse, and create insight, and then hopefully value from this. There's a variety of types of customers who are doing this, from standalone specialists such as Bidgely, to others coming at it from a connected controls angle, like QB in the Netherlands. Others, like Centrica and EDF, are developing skills themselves. I am delighted to be joined by two people who are at the forefront of this change. François Gonsi, Chief Digital Officer at EDF, and Paul Mordaunt, CEO of Edelia, a subsidiary of EDF, which was established to set the pace of its digital journey. Hello, Paul. Hello, François.
Hi. Hi.
Regular listeners will note a slight change in our guest format, having two representatives from the same similar organisations. But enough of that for a moment. We'll come on to that. Paul, thanks very much for joining. Please tell the listeners a little bit more about Edelia and what it offers.
Hi, Chairman. Thanks for the pleasure to discuss with you about this topic. As you said, Edelia is a subsidiary of EDF, providing one of the most comprehensive digital customer engagement solutions for energy retailers dedicated to residential market. It has been designed and developed for EDF customers, first in France and beside in Belgium and Italy, with great success. As now we have more than 12 million users on the platform, and we are now happy to offer the service to other retailers outside EDF Group. So I'm happy to discuss this with you today.
Wonderful. We will get on to the offering to other companies, because I think that's really exciting. François, I'll turn to you now for the moment. One of the big challenges in this space is there's no shortage of analysis and charts and insights that can be gained from analysing consumption data. But one of the key questions is, where's the value and what the use cases are for the customer, and also, obviously, for the energy retailer, and how it fits into their broader strategy around digital. I'm sure listeners are very familiar with EDF, who EDF are, but François, please tell us a little bit more about your role and EDF's take on some of these questions.
So, hello, Charmaine. That's a pleasure to join the chat today. I know you're used to have this kind of chat every every month, every week.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Just as you propose, just as an introduction for EDF. So, EDF is not exactly a small company, as you know. Very briefly, EDF is, of course, an industrial company and also a commercial company. So I am myself the Chief Digital Officer of Customer Activities in France. So France represents more or less half of the sales of EDF, the rest being in the UK. Belgium and in Italy. We sell, of course, electricity. We are well known for that, and also gas and services for all type of clients. I usually say, we sell electricity, gas, and services from my mother to big steel companies, for example. And so I'm roughly the digital guy for all these activities. What means digital for any customer, customer branch of a utility? That's quite usual. Usually three things. Being good on how you engage your customer or prospects. and use digital to be roughly, let's say, an e-merchant. Secondly, develop new services. You perfectly know, probably on your side of the channels, that selling electricity and gas only is less and less profitable, if profitable. So you have to find new way of developing new sources of incomes, and digital has its part. It's not the only way, but it has its part to develop new services and increase the proposals to the, to your customers. And last, what is less known, use digital IA algorithms, automats, and so on to do efficiently what is not seen by our customers, and roughly being more efficient in our internal processes. So this is what means digital for EDF customers activities. Myself, I lead inside these customers activities a team, a digital team, specialized in some part, because we are doing digital for years, of course. I am focused on three things. First thing, data science for everything. So the data science practice for EDF customers activities in France is in my team. Second, as I said, we are, the retail business of electricity and gas is more and more competitive, with very intense competitions. That means that we are condemned to innovate and to propose new things to our clients every year. So I also led a team specialized in bringing some new innovation at scale, select some ideas, test some, and bringing them at scale, few of them, not all of them, at the end of the process. And last, just to mention that, we also have also some big transformation projects on transformation of the skills, HR transformations, on transformation of our IT system, as we are, let's say, a young company, but that has 70 years old. So we have a very old IT. So we are always transforming it and developing new activities, be it inside the company or through spin-offs and new companies. So very briefly speaking, this is an overview of EDF First and the role of digital officer inside EDF.
That is really interesting, actually, and thank you for that. It sounds like there's kind of three key things around how EDF interacts with customers, which digital plays a huge role, new services, and just to sum up, new technologies that happen behind the scenes. But really interesting that you said two things there. One is being condemned to innovate, which we can come back to later, and two, about the transformation in terms of digital skills, because I think they're things that, you know, we don't often talk about and really important when we talk about energy digitalization. Okay, so I'm also joined by David Trevithick, our in-house digital energy expert at Delta EE. David, let's focus on a couple of key points to Energy Insights to really set the background. Could you give us a bit of context around the status of the Energy Insight markets across Europe? Where's the industry really at?
Hi, Shireen, and thanks. Yes, of course. Firstly, this sector of the market is no longer niche, and it's no longer just the major suppliers like EDF offering such services. We've now got tens of millions of European consumers with access to personalized energy consumption insights digitally, so they can access it via apps or web portals or email, for instance. And this will only increase as more energy retailers develop their customer engagement strategies, as the smart meter rollout program continues across Europe, and with the increasing need for society to focus on energy reduction, perhaps time shifting of energy consumption, and increasing self-generation. However, currently, I'd say the market is still some way from maturity.
Okay, that's really interesting. So a growing market, more progressive, not niche and increasing, but not mature yet. Okay, so let's go on to my second question. How far forward are energy retailers? And I'm talking about, you know, the people that you expect to buy electricity from. How far are they really engaging with the customer? And then secondly, how are they actually starting to create value from these insight tools?
Okay, well, historically, it's been very much led by technology. We've got technology, we've got data, and being able to push that onto customers. But we're only sort of recently seeing and starting to see really this market move from sort of promoting the technical or data offer to actually using that data and technology to address real customer needs. And some of those customer needs might be around things like bill transparency and reducing that bill shock. It can be around things like saving money and being more efficient in their energy consumption. It can be around home automation and optimizing, both from the perspective of the smart connected home and also in terms of self-generation. And also there are sort of added value lifestyle services such as home and occupant protection that Energy Insights can help in as well. But that said, I think we're now sort of past that sort of tipping point of early adoption. We're into the early mainstream. You know, I mentioned the tens of millions of consumers already in Europe. So it's starting to offer a significant opportunity. For the major suppliers, to me, that means having the ability to compete or needing to really compete to stay relevant in this dynamic sector. But for challenger brands, it's also relevant. You know, it provides an opportunity for them to compete beyond price. So we're starting to see some innovative apps and use cases to progress really from providing information to customers to actually empowering them. So sort of we're on the journey, but you know, some way still from reaching any destination.
Okay, well, yes, I think that's right. It's been a bit of a process for the industry. I'm going to go back to Paul now. Paul, a little bit based on what David said, but can you tell us a bit more about Adelia's experience of market chain since you set up, I think, back in 2005, is that right?
Yes, precisely. At first, Adelia has been founded to design and to experiment, so lots of small experimentation with a limited number of clients. So we have developed IoT device, we have developed a solution for demand side management, for energy management solution, but only on a limited scale. So we have always been at the heart of the transformation of energy retailers, but the main decision has been made 6 years ago, when my predecessor decided to focus on developing a solution able to address a large number of users based only on data coming from the electricity and gas meters, so, I mean, without any specific device. And so our key asset is all this data, which enable us to provide more and more personalized features for the users, but also value for the retailers directly. And during these 6 years, we have developed the solution with more and more features, and so more and more value with quite good success internally for IDF. And we have taken benefit from the deployment of the smart meters, which has been a first step to get more data and to be more personalized, to be more to gain in terms of satisfaction and engagement for the clients. And now we are facing the second wave with coming the new IoT device in the smart home and the possibility of a large number of partners to get more data and to provide new services taking into account this smart home devices.
So that is very interesting. Your emphasis on focusing on a particular area 6 years ago seems to have really paid off in terms of the progress you've been able to make.
Yeah, so with this increasing number of data, amount of data, it's we have progressively developed new features. First, only a data visualization proposal, but more and more be able to engage the client with emails, with SMS, with a specific interaction. What we estimate is that a client in the energy sector spend only 10 minutes within a year on the interaction, digital interaction with the retailers. So we need to be really personalized and empowering to be able to address what is a specific need. And it's key for the satisfaction of the client, and therefore their loyalty, and therefore the business of our clients.
Thank you, Paul. That's really interesting. That 10-minute statistic is a great one, and it does really show that you do everything needs to be very, very personalised and specific. And actually, I think in the past, it's easy for energy companies, energy retailers, to have been quite complacent on their customers, but also that digitalisation will just happen. Francois, could you tell us a bit more about, and we touched on this before, about EDF's wider digital strategy and how you've experienced promoting these kind of energy insights to your customers?
Yeah, actually, I think finally, let's say on about the goal of the strategy, mainly David and Paul finally mentioned the key points. Just to recall, two main things. We have a strategy on customer engagement, on what we sell, our core business, and also strategy on developing new services. David mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Paul entered into exactly the details for mainly B2C or SMEs clients, final clients. That means that for customer engagement, what are the goals? Mainly two things. Getting more engaged with the client, typically once a month. That's a good idea, because when you are more engaged with the client, we are better into proposing new and more efficient things to the client, and also better against your competitors, because you have the chat and the occasions to bring to your clients what is needed for them. And today, the main beyond the only price, the main thing that is asked by our clients, the second thing after the price, and after basics, get my bills and so on. Just the second thing that beyond that is to get energy efficiency advices, absolutely personalized and so on. So Paul mentioned that. This is true for B2C. This is true for SMEs also. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's more complex when you go for and you speak about bigger consumer. Like big industries or big tertiary buildings. When you go to this type of customers, you have less the problem of the target of digital engagement, but you more speak about digital includes mm-hmm. in services, and usually first energy efficiency services. And if you can, with some customer, you go beyond that. So just to mention, for services, EDF starts with energy efficiency services usually, and more develops new kind of services. For B2C customers, for example, we developed a platform company that is called Easy by EDF, selling interventions at home for, I don't know, your plumbery, your when you need to renovate totally your apartment and so on. So we are trying four services, first to offer the basics, that means services related to energy, and more to develop our business, not services, purely related to energy, but linked a little bit with energy, renovations, let's say urgent intervention for at home or for big clients and so on. So this is how we include digital in developing our business.
Yeah, so it's the role it plays in the wider piece you can see as being quite critical. Okay. And then, Francois, again, I was wondering around the decision to look at digital capabilities and develop that in-house as opposed to buying it in.
That's a good question. There is, to be honest, Charmaine, there is no simple answer to this question. So I don't have any strict doctrine. Mm-hmm. We consider that each time we do something. I will give you some of the parameters we consider. Because usually when you do that, you have two types of questions. The first type of question, do you do the technology itself at home, inside, or do you buy it? That is one type of question. And the second type of question is, do you do the activities, the economical activities beyond technology inside your main company, or do you... take shares in another company, a startup, and so on, or do you build a spin-off like Edelia is to do the economical activity?
Yeah.
Well, I would say for each part, we do all types of things, depending on the project.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something we've seen in other places, in other kind of different types of energy transitions that are going in the market. But sorry, I interrupted you. You were going to say.
No, but you're perfectly right. Actually, the first thing we consider is that where are the risks we want to let to a company, or are there risks we want to ensure ourselves, for example, around privacy, personal information, GDPR, and so on. Usually, we are absolutely not keen to send the personal data of our clients to a third party. Mm-hmm. This is... let's say we have an amount of rules, of cybersecurity rules and privacy rules. That means that usually we keep this data at home, I would say, inside the company. So this is how we consider selecting technological partners. That's the first thing. The second thing, when we consider also, do we want to do the business or inside or through a spin-off. Well, the main thing is that where is mainly a financial issue. That means, do you want to, let's say, locate into one vehicle, which is an independent company, all the funds and all the risk to develop a business, or don't you want? So this is mainly a financial or governance issue, and not strategic issue. So that's the second point. And last point. Well, I don't know if it's your question, Charmaine, but I'm usually asked this question. When somebody asks, but why don't you work a bit more with startups? Is it your question or not at all?
Well, I think it's very interesting, actually, because my next question is going to be to Paul.
I'll try to answer. So, because of course you have different types of questions. You are working with a very big technological company or very big partner or a specialist on of energy, and you're speaking about startups. Usually it's quite, so we worked with startups with many ways. Just to mention, as most big company, we have venture capital funds. We work with startups with our R&D and so on. And I have to admit, so EDF does that since I think it is for let's say 8 years program, I think, more or less, or very organized. But I have to admit that when you want to develop a business at scale, it's quite rare that a partnership with a startup is finally a success. Mainly, the main reason, so usually when we say at scale, it's at least 1 million clients. So we are not a small company. Mm-hmm. Less than 1 million clients, it's not at scale. And to develop something with a startup for 1 million clients very quickly, usually the main issue is that we are very, 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 let's say, careful on cybersecurity things. And it's quite rare that a startup meets our requirements. So if I can mention just that, that means that finally when we develop something at scale with a startup, to be honest, we accept very few examples. Usually we buy it.
Mm. Yeah, it's a really good point. It's and actually, Paul, I'd be interested in that kind of conversation on scale, particularly because you mentioned that you got EDL is now a vendor of solutions to customers beyond EDF. Can you tell us a little bit how that's come about and how that plays into the scaling challenge?
So the first scaling challenge has been made internally, EDF Group, because at first we started with only thousands of clients, and with the commercial development internally. So we've sold a solution to our subsidiary in France, like SOWI, ES in Strasbourg, in foreign islands, and also now in Belgium and Italy. So with this company, we have been able to scale up and to deploy the solution with specific needs, taking into account the specificity of each of this market. So the first step has been made, I would say. And second step has been made also internally with the possibility, the opportunity to switch from thousands of clients to now 12 million of clients by importing, addressing more and more clients for these three countries, and the possibility to engage with these clients with specific features. So we are now, I would say, able to address millions of clients in every country in Europe. So the strategic decision to go further has been made a few weeks ago. And I would say the key element of the decision is that possibility, it's the necessity to go further, I mean, to be more and more competitive with new features, addressing the needs of the changing world of the retailers, of the energy retailers, and also the necessity to have more clients to reduce the cost, so a platform strategy to reduce the cost per client in every country, both for our clients now and for the future clients. So in a digital world, you have to address more and more clients to be competitive.
Yeah, I think so it's very interesting.
Yeah, sorry, Charmaine, to say very briefly, that's finally a common process inside EDF, because you asked what how we approach the at scale process. So you have an innovation, you try it a bit with an external partner or inside as Idelia with our own inside know-how, employees and so on. So first you try to see if there is a business, if technologically it works and so on. Second, you ask yourself, okay, do I want to put this outside the company? That means I buy the solution. Do I want to develop the business or develop the business as a standalone company, which is the case for Idelia? Or do I want to keep that inside my my company as an offer from the main brand and the main company, which is EDF? And actually, so Idelia, we've chosen the second solution. More recently, we've also chosen the second solution with another company called Agregio, that aggregates flexibility and decentralized energy and sell it on the energy market, the wholesale energy market. But sometimes we choose at the end just to develop a service, for example, inside the main brand and the main company. And sometimes we just choose to do a partnership with an external company. So the three processes are possible, but we tried first to answer, to come to your at-scale issue, at-scale problem. We tried first to answer a problem that is already at scale in-house. Mm. That means that from the beginning, we start small, but perfectly knowing that at the end, it works if it's big.
Yeah.
That's why there is so many cybersecurity issues. That's why we usually consider all the possibilities on how going to the market and so on.
So I think that's actually really interesting, and I'd love to talk about that more, because there's so many things that you've unpacked in that conversation around scaling. And Paul, you mentioned developing new platforms, and platforms is a topic that we've seen come up in the sector repeatedly, but more and more in the last 12 months. But that is probably another podcast, and we're running out of time, which is a shame. But I will do our last thing, which we always do on our podcast, which is to look forwards and bring out our talking new energy crystal ball. Well, it's John's crystal ball, but I'll borrow it for this podcast. And I have one question, really. What do you think are the key challenges for the energy insight sector? And I think Paul and Francois, you touched on some of them, but if I pose that question around things that we haven't discussed so far, what else do you think really is the key challenge for the energy insight sector? Paul, if you want to go first.
I think the key is that the energy transition is making the possibility, the relation with every client with the energy sector more and more complex, because he has more and more choice, the number of competitors, the type of offers, self-consumption, PV, EV, demand side management, and so on. I miss probably a few, and all this is very complex for every client, and only few are really able to understand it really. So our mission, I would say, is really to be able to simplify all this and to be able to address him very simple features, to be able to allow him to use all these possibilities, all this new possibility, because it's really a great opportunity for him. But we have to make it as simple as possible. And if we don't manage it, it will be a difficulty for energy transition. So our mission really for energy transition is to make it simple for every residential customer.
Okay, yeah, thanks all. I think making something really complex, simple is key François, would you agree?
Yeah, I perfectly agree. I would say, if I can give more insights, I would say if I can put some, let's say, some of our challenges on a timeline. Today, or as let's say, electricity, mainly electricity, gas retailer, the challenge is, it's the case in France, it's the case in the UK, it's the case in most countries in Europe, is that we have a very, very, very competitive market. So 70 competitors in France, I think more than 100 in the UK. So it's enormous. We as EDF, we have a big market share in France and also in the UK, but the market is very, very competitive. So this is the challenge today. This is where we, that was mentioned by David just at the beginning of the podcast. The challenge, not for today, but let's say tomorrow morning, is that we have to sell more and more services. That means that the difference, the historical difference, be it for B2C or for B2B, between the company that sells the energy and the company that sells the services linked to energy or services using energy, will be less and less, this difference will be less and less, let's say, obvious. So this is for tomorrow morning. And last but not least, for tomorrow afternoon, this is exactly what Paul mentioned. It is still not well developed today, but increasing very fast. That means mainly for our B2C customers, finally, they will have equipment, new types of equipment at home dealing with energy. Some photovoltaics from electrical vehicles, some batteries at home, some domotics equipment, and so on. And today, all those things are not really speaking the one with the others. And this is a new complexity. That means that when you have energy storage at home, production at home, big new use of energy like electrical vehicle, at the end, dealing alone, let's say, if you're my mother, sorry, Charmaine, dealing with all this stuff alone and be sure that at the end it is used efficiently, you have to find somebody that makes it very simple, really very simple. So this is exactly what Paul mentioned. This is on what we work today. This is not, this is for tomorrow afternoon. That means that in a very few, let's say, months or years, that is a very big business case.
Yeah, I think I think that's right. I think it's really interesting to see you positioning all of the innovations and services that need to be developed for companies to stay relevant around this energy insights piece. So yeah, I think I would agree with that. David, let's finish up with you. If you bring it back to energy insights, if you like, what do you think is the key challenge for the industry?
Thanks. Well, I agree with everything that's been said. We've covered a lot of ground already, actually. I think that just to add to that, perhaps, is really demonstrating commercial value from energy insights to reflect the level of investment that's gone into developing these customer propositions over the years. It's not to say it doesn't exist, but we're generally seeing higher sort of customer satisfaction amongst customers with access and using energy insights. But things like the retention benefits, the upsell benefits, we mentioned, you know, those sorts of things are not yet established at scale. And I think that's the area, perhaps, again, one for tomorrow rather than today, but one to focus on.
Thank you, David. Well, that's been really interesting, actually. And I think we have covered a lot of ground, from the role of energy insights and how the market's evolving, the challenge for suppliers as to how they innovate around digital energy, which is I think a key question people have been asking themselves and will continue to, and they'll probably need to do it tomorrow afternoon and then the afternoon after that. So it's been a really fascinating session. I'd like to say thanks to my guests, Paul from Adelia and Francois from EDF, and David, of course. But finally, thanks to you, the listeners. John will be back next time. I'll be back at some point for sure. And thank you very much.